Hello and welcome to episode 23 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown and I have a very special guest, Brett Kelly.
Hello.
You might know him from his world famous Twitch stream in which he digests and breaks down the best of the best of the games, and he does it in the best of the ways. It's a ton of fun. We all learn a lot from Brett's Twitch stream.
I try my best.
It's very true, Brett. Very true. But what we're going to do is this episode is going to be Brett is going to just open his brains and spill his knowledge upon us. We're going to talk a lot about list building. Brett has come up with some very cool list ideas, done things that people probably wouldn't have thought were very competitive and has made it work and has shown why it's so good. And so I kind of just want to sit him down and have him tell us about what he thinks about in terms of list building and building lists. But first off, let's have Brett just give us a quick introduction for himself in terms of playing IA and just FFG games in general.
Sure. Hi, I'm Brett. Been playing Imperial Assault since it came out, really, but I started just on campaign. And then I guess regional season, like a year and a half ago, I saw the prize pool with those nice shiny dice, and I was like, I need those dice. I need a copy of those. So I rolled down to my first regional tournament down in Rockville, Maryland. I guess was that 2016, and my very first tournament, I played players like Paul Heaver. I played that day, Ira, he's been in the top 16 at Worlds a couple times. So like, I thought I was like hot stuff, and then I show up there and everyone is amazing. Like my very first game, I play a guy who's playing the spy trooper list that won Worlds that year, and he just kicked my butt. But but everyone was super welcoming into the community, and you know, people were like inviting me back to their house to play and like teaching me skirmish and stuff. So I learned pretty quickly, and then I got on Vassal, and before Worlds, I was playing with DT like a couple times a week, and then by the time Worlds rolled around, I felt really comfortable with the game. So I'd say that's when I started to get good. But I got my regionals dice, I got my Worlds dice, and now people think I'm smart or something because
he's a genius. don't buy this false modesty. How did you do at Worlds your first time?
I lost to DT in the semi-final, so I like to say that I was third. I was tied for third, I guess.
Tied for third. You're practically second place. I mean, come on.
Well, actually, I did play Paul there in the Swiss rounds, and he beat me, so.
Oh, dang.
I know, right? But he did, he was running a Bantha list, which those things are so swingy, and he was running, well, he got a Joondland off. And he got an end of round stampede off, and he rolled threes on both of those. And he just killed a complete set of Weequays in just that, just stepping on top of them and stomping twice. So it's like, that just kind of happens against Bantha. I mean, yeah, exactly. Paul is really good, but I feel like I don't know. I don't like complaining about the dice, and I don't like people that complain about the dice, but. That's what happened in that game. just saying.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You went to a nationals tournament fairly recently, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It was at Nova Open in DC, and it's not too far away. There was about 40 people there, I think. And that was 2 weeks after the North American Championships, which whoever won that was running Ugnaughts. And I had been playing around with them a lot. I had a lot of experience with them. And so I decided to take those to Nationals. And I think there was like six other people running them. The Ugnaught Swarm kind of took Nationals by storm. I think four of the top 16 were running Uggs. There was a lot of salt in the air at that tournament.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, I ended up taking it. The finals was on Raining Freight. And not only was that like a mismatched map, but I also got Terminal Protocol off, which if you don't know, it's like the roll a green dice and everyone adjacent to you suffers that much damage. So I got like a 10 damage Terminal Protocol off with my second activation. It was just ugly.
That's huge.
The finals. I think he killed one Ugnaught. It was like 40-3 at the end. It was, I mean, I was playing against this guy, Julian Horvath, who is a great player. He went on to win Canadian Nationals like the next month after that. But, I mean, there was nothing he could do against that.
Yeah. Losing 10 damage that fast. You're not coming back from that.
Oh, definitely not. He ended up, I guess he didn't know how good the Ugnaughts were, but he ended up taking the Ugnaught list to Canada and winning their Nationals with it. So, we both after that wrote these articles about why the Ugnaught should get nerfed, but I guess nothing happened with that. But
well, I read those articles, as I assume many people did, and those who were not convinced are fools, including FFG.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
but you know, I feel like in the community right now, there's like this unspoken agreement not to run them.
Yeah,
because you know, I won Nationals with them. I'm not planning on taking them to Worlds. Like, I feel like people are tired of them, but there's also this other aspect, like, you don't get any style points for running the Ugnaughts. Like, no one's going to respect you for taking Ugnaught list to the top 16 at Worlds.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Especially for the people that run blogs or podcasts or whatever, like, I would feel really bad writing up a battle report about here's how Ugnaughts went at Worlds. I just feel like,
yeah,
that wouldn't be good. But
yeah,
I think there's other lists that are just as good. So
absolutely. And I hope that the threat of Vader is just enough. I'm not sold that Vader auto wins against Ugnaughts.
I haven't seen
enough games played. I watched your game against the guy running. You were running a kind of a variant of the Ugnaughts form. I can't remember exactly what you're running, but against the Vader player, and it seemed like he was giving you a good run for your money. But I'm just not sold that Vader can absolutely dominate Ugnaughts. But,
yeah.
I mean, it might be enough of a threat that it scares people away from taking it.
Yeah, I was running... I played the opposite of that, too. I was running Vader Riots against Ugnaughts. And some guy just wanted to figure out how the Ugnaughts work. And, I mean, he didn't really know what he was doing, so... But I feel like if you know what you're doing with Ugnaughts, you just ignore Vader. He can't take out your whole list. He only has one attack a turn. So, I don't know. I agree with you. I don't think Vader is, like, the, like, decisive counter, but...
Yeah, he's good, but not... Right. Not, I mean, he's safe points against them, but not gonna auto-win.
Yeah, and, you know, Riots are pretty good against them, too. Like, that's a lot of health to chew through.
It's true.
The thing with Ugnaughts is just... They whittle away at you, and if you have enough health, they're not going to whittle away fast enough.
Good point.
So, yeah, I think...
Would you say it's the case that Ugnaughts, obviously, they do really good generally against white dye?
Oh, yeah.
White dye figures.
They are amazing against white dyes.
So, is that the case that maybe their matchup against Imperials just isn't quite as good? Because there's no competitive Imperial figure that isn't rolling a black dye.
Well... It actually really sucks if you're the Imperial and the Ugnaught kills your officer before you can activate. Like, the Ugnaught list, the whole point is to whittle down your opponent's activations so you can go a bunch of times in a row and keep that Ugnaught alive and keep his attacks coming. Because if you're running, like, an 8-activation Ugnaught list or something against, like, a 6-activation Imperial list, and you take out their officer... All of a sudden, you have like 3 activations in a row that they can't even do anything about. So,
good point.
So yeah, I mean, the Ugnaught, the junk droid can one hit a officer, and it's not super uncommon.
Good point. Well, that is good to know, good to bear in mind. But let us turn from the awful Ugnaught swarm to your genius in list building. Tell us about a little preface. Brett wrote an amazing write up for a regionals that he won that I'm going to include a link to in the show notes. But what I want to do is just have Brett talk a little bit about the list, how he built it, how he did, and then just give us some general tips in list building.
Okay, sounds good. Kenny's talking about the it was the Glen Burnie regional. It was in, I think, December or January. I think January of this year. I've been a Rebel player pretty much since I started competitive. And, you know, I was running the Wonder Twins back in the day. I really like, you know, the lightsabers and getting those big attacks off, like with Obi-Wan back in the day when you could just swing and pretty much one-shot everything in the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always try to make them work. Of course, when Jabba's Realm came out, it was like impossible to run Rebels. It was just, it made no sense to run anything but Hunters, I think. But yeah, and then with Jedi Luke came out, and then, you know, we got some Heart of the Empire stuff. Drakata seemed really interesting. Han's fix seemed really good. So all that stuff made me really excited for Rebels. So I decided to try to make them work again. And at first, I really wanted to make Drakata work. He's such an interesting, cool figure. He's great against Zillow. He's great at, like, Zillow is great at keeping people alive with one health. And he just completely negates that. He'll just kill everybody around that has one health left. So I stuck him with the new Han fix and Elite Rangers, who I had won a regional with them before too, actually. So I was running Rangers, Drakata, Han, and then the Rebel Care Package, which is just six activations. But my command deck was super wonky. It's like you got Hunter cards in there, Smuggler cards, and then Drakata doesn't really fit with anything. I mean, you're running collateral damage, I guess, but only he can use it. So I don't know. It wasn't very consistent. So I swapped him out. I tried to fit in Kotun. I think Kotun's pretty decent with the Rangers, but still, it's like a lot of people are running Han Rangers right now. And I think it's kind of weird to make that work because the way I run Han is he wants to go last to set up his end of round shot. And if you're not playing him last, he's either not going to get an end of round shot or he's going to take some attacks. And he only has 12 health, so I feel like that's not really a viable way to play him. I mean, people are making it work, but that's not really how I make it work. Anyway, eventually I went back to Jedi Luke, who, man, a lot of people are down on him, but he's one of my favorite figures. I mean, he consistently hits about 5 damage against a black die. I think it's like 60% for 5 and 90% for 4. Something like that. Which, you know, it's okay. I mean, it's like if you're attacking twice, you're pretty much guaranteed to kill an 8 health figure. Even against Zillow blocks and stuff, because you're getting that Pierce 3 on at least one of those attacks. So, like, I think he can... You don't really have to... A lot of people think he needs to kill 2 things with his activation. But really, if you're just killing 1 thing with the Luke activation, that's fine. And he's basically there to protect your smuggler box. So, like, you snipe with Han, make sure nobody gets too close, because Luke's sitting there ready to attack you twice. So, the list I came up with is Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Rebel Care Package Plus, which is Gideon, C-3PO, and Hera. And then I put in Jin and Smuggler, just for some... actually, 2 Smugglers, just for some extra activations.
Okay.
So that gave me 8 activations, which was consistently letting me play Han last at the end of the round. At this regional that we're talking about in Glen Burnie, this was kind of right after Heart of the Empire for our local meta, at least. Like, a lot of us were coming off of Worlds or Nationals. We hadn't played since then. And I figured no one was going to be playing Mercenaries because everyone's so tired of them. So I kind of felt like this was a list that maybe wasn't the best list, but I thought I could sneak it in at that time. Just because... All the Imperialists are running less than 8 activations for sure. So you're always getting the last activation against Imps. And you don't have to worry about weak ways getting rid of your dodge results. So it's like, I mean, all the units in this list are white dies except for Gideon and Hera. So, yeah. Like, weakways are going to eat you alive. And in fact, a focused hit in weakway with Assassinate can easily kill Han in one shot. That's insane. Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah. So this list is kind of dangerous to run in a big tournament, but at this regional, it's kind of the right time to do it. And, I mean, I get there. Everyone's running Imperials, just like I thought. There's actually a couple Rebel players that are running Han, too. But Jin actually ended up being huge for me. Every time I played against Vader, she just locked him down the whole game. And there were some really good players playing Vader Palp, and they just couldn't touch my list. Like, I basically had free reign of the whole board. Just took out their jets with Han, and just let Vader or Jin deal with Vader. Luke, I don't even know what Luke was doing. He just did his own thing. But that's basically all you need is Han and Jin.
That's awesome. Yeah. Let me ask you a quick strategy question.
Sure.
So you said that with Luke's purpose is to hang around and protect the box. Normally, I've heard you say that Luke kind of acts, he goes off and wrecks mayhem kind of off on his own.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there was a little bit, that was not the case here, that you would keep him closer to Han. Is that right?
Well, he's pretty versatile as a figure. I mean, he can move 8 spaces and get an attack, and then Son of Skywalker attack and move back 8. So really, if you want to stretch him out, it's not that bad. My general theory as far as strategy goes is you want to keep most of your attackers together, whether you're running a box or if you're running like an Imperial swarm list. You don't want to spread out too much. In fact, especially with Imperial swarms, I always see people running their jets off in different directions, and I feel like that's always a terrible choice. But Luke, he's got so much movement, and you know, he's got so many cards that can get him back into good position, that if you want to run off 8 spaces and kill a jet trooper or something, like, you're going to have time to get him back into good position. So, yeah, sometimes you can do that. And he's also good at, if you want to contain your opponent to a certain area, if you, like, run him off to the right, your opponent's like, well, I'm not sending anybody that way. So it's like you can pretty much control what your opponent does with him, too, which is another thing I like about him. Yeah, I don't know why people don't play him that much. I mean, I guess he's kind of fragile with just a white die and a evade.
Yeah, I'd really say like him. My problem with him is just a general lack of knowledge. Every time I run him, I don't know how to play him very well, and he just explodes. And so that's just, I think, not knowing when to commit and really how to keep him safe. So
yeah, and you know, I still make mistakes with him like that too. The last game I played with him, I ran him down to kill Greedo, and he died in Greedo's return fire and 2 Vento shots. So it was kind of disappointing.
Oof.
Yeah. Oof. I somehow clawed my way back in, though. Han is just really good.
Yeah, that's true.
My opponent, I was playing against Morfeo. He didn't draw on the lamb at all, so that's how I won, I think.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
So at the Glen Burnie tournament, you won. You took the final game. You beat Palp Vader, right, in the final?
Yeah, Lucas Davidson was running that Palp Vader.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah, I think he's won 3 regionals since then. He's switched up his list. He dropped to Palpatine, and now he's running Vader, Riot, 2 jets, which I've run that list on Vassal. It is so much fun. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like Palp Vader's kind of wonky. You're kind of trying to set up this wombo combo. It's kind of cheesy. But with Riots, they kind of just escort Vader in, and then Vader comes in with like all these like Brawler and Force User cards. Like Dark Energy is my new favorite card, I think.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, and it's like your opponent doesn't see it coming, and all of a sudden you kill like 3 things with the Vader activation somehow. They're like, how did that happen? That's great.
That's awesome. Well, maybe now you want to give us some general tips in terms of like list building. So the meta is pretty wide open right now. It seems like Imperials are doing really well. They're winning a lot of regionals.
Yeah, in America they are.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I guess in Europe, IG and Han Solo continue to hold sway.
I think it's awesome that the different regions kind of have a different take on the game. It's like,
yeah,
you got the UK, which is like the rebel stronghold, and they're all running Han, it seems like. And then yeah. You got like Spain and Italy. They both have really strong, big communities, and they're all running IG. And then over here, we're running, I think I'm the only one running Luke, but it seems like everyone's running Imperials. I guess you got some people over there running Rebels too, including yourself.
Yeah, not really. I mean, like I run Rebels, but our meta is primarily Imperial / Scum. I mean, it kind of went with the meta in terms of everyone's playing Scum, and then it seemed like lots of people wanted to play Imperials. So,
yeah, I think as far as general list building, I think you can build a good list in any faction. I think it's kind of hard to give general tips. All the factions play kind of differently right now. Like Imperials are the most different because Rebels and Mercs, they kind of play this game where they each want to get the last activation. Like if you go last with IG-88, it's just amazing. And then you play Blaze of Glory and you have Devious, so you start the next round and you get like 5 attacks off with IG before your opponent gets to respond. It's like
it's just game over.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to recover from that. But if you're running Imperials, IG can just whiff on Vader all day. Like I've run IG against Vader and rolled 3 damage and 2 attacks at the end of the round. And it's like I just gave up on attacking him at that point. It's like I think I'll attack someone else and maybe go cry in a corner. So Imperials, they don't need to play this activation game. You can run, honestly, you can run a 4 or 5 activation Imperial list and be okay. As long as you know what you're doing, yeah. And I don't know. I play Imperials where you just run all your figures straight at your opponent. And like, if you're playing against a Rebel list that you need to focus everybody up round one and
yep.
Or mercenaries where like your weakways are trying to hide round one and stuff.
Yep.
It's like they're not ready to deal all that damage round one. And by the time round two comes around, you're getting really good trades with the Riots and your Jets and Vader, and you have like Overrun and Grenadier in your hand. There's some pretty swingy cards out there for troopers right now.
Let me ask a question. So how I have approached when everyone was running Scum,
yeah,
and there was the Assassinate, Tools for the Job, High End Reflexes cards out there, I responded as I didn't play Scum, I played Rebels. So I responded by playing spy cards and eventually like working towards the box where what I would do is, and went on the, obviously with On the Lamb, mm-hmm. Miracle Worker, these cards that are going to, and Comms Disruption, these cards that are going to take the heavy momentum of my opponent and then just like stop them at a certain point, force them to expend resources. They've spent them. My people are still alive. And now I can like respond in turn. But it seems like that, and that was just how, that was my particular approach in terms of mm-hmm. like confronting this strong alpha. And that doesn't work with Imperials in terms of, because like Imperials just have steady, consistent damage that I just can't really,
yeah,
you can't MHD, even On the Lamb, right? Like you're going to On the Lamb once and they're going to say, okay, well, here comes 4 more trooper attacks, right? But my question is, when you're in like the face of the current meta, how do you control the damage coming in? Let's say you're a Rebel player running a no spy list, like a Han Rangers list, we'll just say, because it's pretty vanilla. How do you control the amount of damage coming in from things like Grenadier, Overrun, Blaze of Glory? I mean, is there anything to do? Like, if you're playing against an Imperial list and you know those cards can be coming down the line, like, what do you do? Like, what's your strategy?
You know, I feel like with that kind of matchup, your opponent's generally going to make the first move as far as their positioning goes. And you kind of have to move in the other direction. And that's not always easy to do, especially like Jabba's Palace. They'll just run right up to your door. You know, you have to make it so their Riots can't get attacks round two. And it's, if you're activating your Rangers at the end of the round, it's pretty easy to move all 3 of them away so none of them are getting attacked by Riots round two. And then with Han, you need to at least take out whatever's the closest thing. I mean, I usually wouldn't attack a riot trooper. You got to try to take out a jet. But if there's something within range that's going to, you know, ruin your day with a grenadier, he's pretty good at finishing stuff off at the end of the round. So generally you can keep the riots away and still like take out enough stuff where you'll be able to deal with the trades round two. That's been my general strategy. And
that's interesting.
Yeah. I think a focused Han with like tools for the job or Hera can pretty consistently one shot a jet.
Yes.
And if he doesn't finish it off, then you can always use your end of round attack for that. But that's usually my strategy. Save Han for the end and finish the closest jet off at least. And if you're running riots, you should be able to get probably at least two jets. So, I don't know. If you take out enough stuff before they get to you, you should be fine. It's really easy to do on like raining freight, or it's not quite as easy on shielded because they get that extra evade. Or you get a minus surge. That's actually really annoying for the Rangers, but
yeah, they struggle on that.
They do.
What about against scum hunters? I mean, like, if your only save is on the lamb against IG and you've got Han Rangers, is it just hope they don't draw Blaze of Glory round one? I mean, is that all you're really looking at?
I think with Han Rangers, you can kill IG round one. It's not that hard. Rangers can do so much damage to him. The thing is, when you're list building, you kind of have to have a list that makes him come to you before, you know, most merc lists are going to be running seven activations with IG, and they're going to have Devious. So you need at least eight activations, I think, with the Rebel list, with Rangers. And then, you know, that eighth activation, you just unleash your full set of Rangers on IG. That should be enough to kill him if you have any Hunter cards on you, which you probably should. So, yeah, and a good IG opponent is not going to send their IG right at you at that point. So you want to get into a sniper trade battle with them, and generally you'll come out on top with Han Rangers against mercs from long range.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, it's no guarantee. IG IG Weakways is a really strong list.
Yeah, sure.
It's not like there's a perfect strategy to beat it with Rebels. I mean, the Weakways, like I said earlier, just eat white die figures for breakfast. So
yeah, it's true.
You really have to keep your Han tucked away. Because once those focused hidden Weakways are starting to shoot at you, even with an on the lamb, they're going to finish you in just a couple hits.
Yeah, sure. I mean, because the on lamb, again, only saves you once.
That's so right. Yep.
Well, cool. So maybe now let's transition. I know you said you don't want there. It's like really hard to generalize, but maybe can you give us a little bit more of where we've got a month and a half ish to Worlds. We've got a few more regionals that are going to be coming up. Can you give us some general tips in terms of list building? I mean, obviously we could spend 10 hours talking about this, but what do people need to think about in terms of list building for units and command cards in terms of approaching like the meta right now? Like how what advice would you give for people getting ready for the meta?
I think you have to be aware of what your opponents are going to be running at Worlds. And I think it's pretty obvious what the main stuff you're going to see there is. You're going to see a lot of E-Jets, obviously. So you should definitely be aware that they have this combo with Overrun and Grenadier that's just gonna like deal so much unmitigatable damage to a small area. So if you're playing against E-Jets and there's one right next to you at the beginning of the round and you know you're clumped up, then you probably have made a mistake and you're vulnerable. Like, you always have to keep in mind they could take initiative, they could squad swarm, stuff like that. So you just have to be aware. Stay away from those jets with your box. if you're running Rebels, especially. And like I said earlier, like Han can take care of that for you a little bit, but you just have to be aware that that's coming. I think most people know all the Hunter cards that are available now. You know, like, yeah. And there's not really any good way to, you know, strategize against that. You're going to get shot at, and they might have Assassinate and Heightened Reflexes and Tools for the Job, and someone's going to die. As far as general strategy, just a lot of people get really discouraged when one of their big units dies, but against a Hunter list, they only have one copy of Assassinate. They only have one copy of Tools for the Job. Once that stuff's gone, you can definitely start digging your way back into the game. Like, I feel like you're never out of it, really. The games are only 60 minutes, so you can, once you're down on material, you kind of have to start working on objectives. That's really the best way to get back in the game. And a lot of the time, someone who's winning will kind of ignore objectives and try to finish off your guys. So if you just play like really defensively and avoid them and sit on stuff, a lot of the time that'll be enough. As far as what you should be aware of in Rebels is kind of like the janky, we can survive with weird cards list. You know, you got Han next to 3PO, who's giving him an extra evade and block every attack. And then you got Run for Cover, which gets rid of an attack dice. You got On the Lam. You got, and then, you know, there's a bunch of, like, Brace for Impact you're going to see a lot of at Worlds, I think. Yeah, what else? I don't think Stealth Tactics may, I mean, in a Han Jin list, Stealth Tactics is pretty good, but there's a lot of these generic defensive cards that have kind of emerged as just so versatile that they're finding their way into a lot of lists. So you're gonna have to watch out for those. So watch out for Jets, Weequays, IG, Han, Rangers. Those are all gonna be there in force.
What's a card or either command card or deployment card that is underrated in your opinion, maybe as of now, card that you think people should pay more attention to that they're not paying attention to?
I'm going to have to say Jedi Luke. I mean, I'm going to take him to Worlds if I can. And there you go. I'm going to show people how good he is. But he's, his command card, Son of Skywalker, can, if you draw it in your starting hand, it's pretty much like there's a path to victory. Like,
yep.
If you lose at that point, you did something wrong. Course, IG-88 and Blaze is kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Son of Skywalker is such a good card. And he matches up pretty well against Blaze, too. I mean, he's going to be doing about 5 damage to Blaze every time. So, like, or to IG, sorry. So, like, 3 Luke attacks can finish off IG easily.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, yeah, he's my underrated MVP. I kind of include him whenever I can.
What do you think? So let me ask another strategy question about Luke.
Sure.
You said on our Slack channel, which everyone should join by sending an email, designsfinest, ia@gmail.com. Brett has said on our Slack channel that you typically don't focus Luke.
Yeah.
You focus other things and just kind of let him go off and do his standard damage. Are there circumstances in which you're like, I really want Luke to go kill IG, so I want to get 7 damage on this attack as opposed to just 5? Do you ever think about that?
Yeah. In fact, there's a lot of units out there right now that have like 6 or 7 health. So sometimes I'll focus Luke just to deal with that. But he doesn't have a reroll, which is a big factor in how valuable.
Good point.
Focuses.
Good point.
I mean, the best focus targets have good surges that they're not wasting, and they have rerolls. So Han, good for point. Instance, is, I think, the best focus target in the game because he gets both a reroll and he has 2 surges that are good. Rangers are really good focus targets because they get 2 rerolls. So you're never rolling that 1 surge side on the green and wasting the focus. Whereas with Luke, sometimes he can, even focused, he can whiff. So like in my Luke Han Jin list, it was always Han was focused first, and then Jin was my second priority, just because I wanted to get that stun. Her surges are amazing. She's got like stun and plus two damages or other surge. So yeah, she's always my second. Plus she can use the range, and Luke doesn't get anything out of the range either. So
good point. Great point.
So yeah, there's like a couple reasons why focusing Luke isn't that great, but there are definitely some times when you want to do it. My last list I've been messing around with, I dropped Jin for another smuggler and R2, which is like the first time I played this list, you're like, who do I focus? I focused Han already. Now do I focus a regular smuggler or Hera? Like, I don't know.
Good point.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Hera's actually not a bad focus target.
No, she's an awesome focus target.
Yeah, she can roll like pretty decent range, and she does have three surges she can use, although they're not the best, but
no.
The focus definitely helps her a lot. But she's generally not attacking round one. So round one, you might as well focus Luke in that list, just because there's no better choice. But when you're running like Luke Rangers, you're never gonna focus Luke.
Those Rangers need that focus.
Oh yeah. And I think Luke Rangers is a pretty popular archetype, although I haven't seen it much lately. I won a regional last year with right after Jabba's realm dropped with Luke Rangers. Mm. But that was back before they changed the scoring. There was like this little window, like a month after Jabba's realm, where it was still you still scored for the whole deployment card instead of figures.
Yeah.
So you can roll in with 12 points worth of Alliance Rangers, and like no one would attack them because it's impossible to score those 12 points. Like in a 60 minute game, you're never going to finish off 21 health worth of Rangers. It's impossible.
Especially at range, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to have to like bonkers commit in order to kill them.
Oh, yeah. That was for a month by far the strongest list, I think. I was the only one. Well, there was two of us running it. Everyone else was messing around with Jets.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So tell us a card you think is overrated, either deployment card or command card.
Man, I keep telling everyone that Jabba is overrated, but I think finally people are starting to catch on. Like, man.
Yeah.
Everyone was running Jabba at Worlds last year, I felt like. And he's just like, he has no map presence at all. There's literally no reason to take Jabba over Onar, because Onar gets a 3-die attack every turn, and you don't have to spend victory points for it. He also can control objectives, and Jabba can't do that. And he has 15 health, whereas Jabba, like, his health doesn't contribute at all, because he's sitting in your deployment zone. No one's even bothering to attack him. So, like, I don't know. I feel like Jabba's so easy to play around. You just kill their best attacker, and all of a sudden, it's like you have Jabba and a set of weak ways, and what do you do? What do you do then?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. I feel like there's not that much other overrated stuff right now. There's just a lot of good stuff in both factions, or in all three factions.
If FFG nerfs Gideon and C-3PO and makes it so they can't focus scum units anymore, then do you think Jabba comes back?
Yeah, I think there's a place, because weakways need focus really badly, and Vinto really can use focus, and Onar really likes focus. So, yeah, there's definitely a place for people that can focus in scum. But if that, say they banned temporary alliance, I think not many people are running scum at that point.
Yeah, that's a good point. It'll severely handicap the faction.
Yeah, I mean, scum's kind of balanced around temporary alliance. I've been working on this on the Slack channel. I started making this big board of character rankings or whatever, and I have like a S tier for must play stuff, and I was thinking about what would be in my S tier for mercs, and really I think temporary alliance is maybe the only S tier thing. They have a lot of stuff that's like A tier, like really good stuff. But
yeah,
but I can't see making a merc list without temporary alliance.
Yeah, I I totally agree. I mean, the 6 points of Gideon C-3PO.
Yeah, it's so good. And now with the elite Jawa, with you can bring Hera too. It's great. Like,
oh,
you got so you got awesome. The whole Rebel care package plus. You got 9 points worth of the best Rebels, and then you got also all these good merc things. Yeah, it's crazy.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't love it. I want scum to get nerfed into the ground, but...
Yeah, they've had their heyday. I feel like I need to take Rebels to Worlds just because they haven't gotten a win yet. And
yeah, you got to win it for us,
I
got to
represent. I mean, I have no... we'll see how I can do, but I'll try my best.
Good man.
Yeah.
Well, Brett, do you have any more advice, pearls of wisdom for us?
Pearls of wisdom? Well... My biggest advice for anyone who wants to do well at Worlds is if you're not playing on Vassal, you're not going to do as well at Worlds as if you were playing on Vassal. Like
it, good point.
It's not even a question. Everyone that's good is playing on there. Like I'm on there all the time. DT's on there every night, it seems like. Like Morfeo, like all these Italian players are on there all the time. Like, you can play against the world champion any given night on there. And, like, how does that not make you better?
Yeah, absolutely.
That, I think, made me improve a ton. So, yeah, if you're not on Vassal and you want to do well at Worlds, you're making a mistake. I think a lot of people have this mindset, like, they have figured out this secret list that's really good. And they don't want to practice with it because they don't want people to know how good their secret list is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't want to play against DT with my super awesome secret list because then he'll know how to beat me with it. Like, that should not be your mindset at all.
Like, no way.
Your mindset should be, I want DT to tear my secret list apart so I can play it better next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, don't be afraid of losing, and don't be afraid of making mistakes, because that's how you get better.
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing is not just having your list torn down, because realistically, pretty much everyone's list is going to reduce to several like core archetypes, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. I mean, if there is half a dozen archetypes that can be played, that's a really healthy meta.
Totally.
But what you need to learn on Vassal, and what you will learn playing against someone like you or DT, is how if you screw up something with positioning, or if you are just timing, your timing is a little off, you'll be punished for it. And that's something that's an awesome lesson to learn.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of streaming lately, and I found watching other people's games is pretty good for learning too, because you just get to see different people's like mindsets and strategies and stuff. But honestly, I feel like watching other people's games, I'm not getting as much practice as I need. So really playing is by far the best way.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Well, cool, Brett. Well, we want to thank you for coming on the podcast, blowing our minds.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We'll have to do this again sometime, maybe after Worlds.
I want to have you on after your next regional win on March 31st.
Yeah, we'll see about that. A lot of good people are on the East Coast.
Well, I know.
The other guy,
I'm talking to one of them.
Yeah, the other guy that got that I tied for third at Worlds, James Hedgebeth, he was he's always at those New Jersey regionals. He's from Philadelphia, so
cool.
Yeah, and Heaver will probably be there too. It'll be a tough regional. We'll see how I do.
Yeah, good. Well, we'll have to follow up with you, but we're glad you came on. We want to thank everyone for listening to the podcast. If you want to join us on the Slack so you can have your mind blown by Brett on a daily basis, send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. And we'd also appreciate any support on patreon.com/zionsfinest. I just want to have one more plug for the Vassal. We're trying to include links for it in the show notes. But it is very important for people to just come on and get practice. I also just want more people to be playing on Vassal. I think that's one of the things that kind of broke X-Wing out from being more of just a local, smaller time game it developed a strong global community. And I think Vassal is a big reason for that. And it'd be awesome if the same thing could happen with IA.
Yeah, for sure. It's always good to log on to Vassal and see a bunch of people in all these different rooms. So
yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Brett.
Yeah, thanks, Kenny.
Perfect. Everyone have a good day.